Next on Speak Up.
Crying. Mm-hmm. In my room as she shared that she had been raped mm-hmm. by her boyfriend, mm-hmm. not by somebody, she, you know, we think this she only happens with strangers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was somebody she knew and trusted, mm-hmm. and she was a virgin. And mm-hmm.
It all starts right now.
81% of parents don't think,
they don't think
dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't mess that up.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
Trauma and abuse leaves many scars, creating feelings of guilt, anger, and fear that haunt survivors throughout their lives. Adults who have undergone abuse as children commonly have depression, insomnia, anxiety, and many experience self-destructive behaviors such as alcoholism and drug abuse. Is it possible to heal the broken wounds of our soul and experience emotional healing? If so, how? That is what we will speak up about. Not an easy thing to carry those scars and to imagine that you will find healing for this.
Especially mm-hmm. if you don't talk about it at all. I met a young woman recently, and we were talking about, in a large group, talking about dating and relationships, mm-hmm. and something must have struck a chord, mm-hmm. because at about 11 o'clock that night, we'd all been hanging out, and she said, "Can I talk to you?" She ended up crying mm-hmm. in my room as mm-hmm. she shared that she had been raped mm-hmm. by her boyfriend, mm-hmm. not by somebody, she, you know, we think this
she
only happens with strangers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was somebody she knew and trusted, mm. and she was a virgin and mm-hmm. wanted to stay that way until mm-hmm. she was married, and he didn't mm-hmm. want to wait. Mm-hmm. And so he took that from her. And as she's sitting on the couch mm-hmm. across from me mm-hmm. crying, she said, "I'm dirty, mm-mm. I'm worthless, and now I'm having sex with whoever, whenever, wow. because I feel like it's already
doesn't
gone.
Matter.
I can't
what's
get
the
it back.
In her mind, what's the point is in what's her in her mind.
She'd never mm-hmm. told anyone.
Anyone.
She had never told
how,
anyone.
Well, how many years was it?
It had been 4 years.
4 years?
That she'd been mm-hmm. holding on to that mm-hmm. without
before
telling
she spoke up
anyone.
About mm-hmm. it.
So mm-hmm. as she poured this out, and I just listened. Mm-hmm. I just listened for a really long time. And I've now connected her with a crisis
yes,
counselor.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
And she's getting help, and she has completely reevaluated even the relationship she's in now.
That's right.
Because a lot of times after those scenarios, we go into other unhealthy relationships. And so she's reevaluating that, and we're staying in touch. But, you know, wow. this is real. Physical healing is easy to,
oh,
to
yes.
work
measure
and work and, through yeah. and measure.
Measure.
Emotional
but
healing
emotional,
isn't.
It's deep.
Yeah. Well,
it's
with
deep.
This woman, it was one event that happened to her. What about people who are abused on a daily basis? Mm. Maybe not with such intensity, mm-hmm. but they are either they are in an abusive relationship or either with friends, with partners mm-hmm. or parents. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always physical.
And mm-hmm. it's no,
and
emotional.
Yeah,
emotional.
Right. Take you down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I went to boarding school very early, and I felt that it wasn't really appropriate to be in boarding school at 12.
It was not, you were saying?
Yeah, it was not. No, okay. I absolutely think that at 12 you still should be with mom and dad.
Parents and
yeah.
stuff.
And I felt, even though it was a Christian organization, and I at the time they did what they thought it was right, mm-hmm. but there was a lot, looking back, there was a lot of abuse, emotional abuse, mm-hmm. in the sense that you're part of a collective, you're not an individual mm-hmm. anymore. And at 12, in my formative years, I felt that I didn't have a say. Maybe that's why I rebelled so many times. Mm-hmm. But I felt that I was being crushed, okay. you know, at that young age. And looking back, there was a lot of emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they make you feel bad about yourself if you didn't follow certain rules.
Right, exactly.
Or certain things. And the truth is that, you know, many times when we carry those scars, the joy goes away. I mean, mm-hmm. you just don't have the joy of the Lord as
you just begin to react. So, yeah. for example, mm-hmm. like the young lady you spoke about, one form of abuse triggered another form. So the sexual abuse actually was a part of emotional and brought on emotional abuse because it happened with an intimate partner. A boyfriend is somebody that you trust, especially sometimes with your private things, things of your heart that you may not share with certain
others.
People. You tend to share it with your boyfriend and intimate partner. partner. And so now she's just reacting. Mm-hmm. We've heard that people go from different ends of the spectrum. You have someone who's been through a situation like that, and they may start off, they may go from one end of the spectrum to the other, the highly sexually active person, yep. or the person who now isolates themselves and stays in one corner. Right? And so unfortunately, well, actually, both ends of the spectrum are just unfortunate. None is better than the other.
Right. All bring very negative outcomes.
That's right.
Both for your mental health and your physical health.
Mm-hmm.
And your physical health.
Yes.
And, you know, as it says in the Bible, that if you carry that pain with you, you know, it will dry your bones.
Right.
And literally, there's actually research that shows that, you know, there's a set of many reactions and chemistry that happens in your brain with stress hormones and everything that actually will increase your risk for many, even chronic diseases,
mm-hmm.
If you don't find the healing you need because of you know, for that pain.
I think it's particularly important that for people who are in leadership positions or if you have someone under you, whether we can always oppress one another, whether you're middle management, let's say employment-wise, you can, you know, oppress the one. Now, the director can oppress the manager, and then the CEO can oppress the director and so mm-hmm. forth and so on. And then if you're the bottom of it all, then you're going to oppress to whatever you're doing. If you're dealing with clients.
See, because people that are hurting,
they are going to hurt. So
that's
abuse,
a reality.
Yes, abuse, it really has a domino
yep.
effect,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be, you know, perpetuated throughout society.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is helpful? I mean, it was truly helpful for you just to listen. In that case,
she needed to really pour her heart out and just have somebody care.
Yeah.
I asked a few questions, but mostly I just listened as long as she needed to talk.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I followed up.
Mm-hmm.
I check in with her to make sure she's okay. But she said, I don't have time to find a counselor. I'm in school. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I took the time to
research
and find a counselor where she was,
that
she could afford.
Wow, that's a wonderful thing.
That's right.
Because that's what she needed. She mm-hmm. needed someone she could share even further. You know, some of the research that I've read does point out that just by sharing with someone mm-hmm. for the first time, mm-hmm. which is just what happened with you, the risk factors for all the chronic physical problems and mental health problems decrease
significantly
just by being able to unburden
right.
their heart,
right.
you know,
right.
and that's very, very important.
And I think the important part was that she trusted you because she felt that you won't be there to judge her.
Mm-hmm.
You will be there to help her.
She felt
right.
safe.
I never
right.
said when she told me that I'm sleeping with anyone whenever, my facial expression
didn't change.
Uh-huh. I didn't react and think, what are you doing?
Right.
This
yeah.
is her journey.
Mm-hmm.
This is her journey, and I can't judge what she's been through. I've never walked through
right.
that kind of pain.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so on the other side of it, hopefully we've given her some hope and some help.
Yeah. And you can even say, like, I understand what you're feeling because you've never been through that. But
right.
just by listening, it helped her.
I usually say,
right.
I hear you.
I understand because you can never understand what they're going through because even though
let me tell you this.
We have a guest today here
okay.
that will help us understand this issue a little better. Dr. David Sedlacek is a professor at the Theological Seminary at Andrews University, and he is a specialist on some of these issues. Dr. Sedlacek, thank you for being with us. You heard that there is a whole lot of abuse happening,
mm-hmm.
and then people are carrying all of these scars with them. Are women more at risk than men to carry emotional turmoil and scars and in need of emotional healing?
Well, I think in general, all humans are a part of the victim-victimizer cycle. You know, ever since sin came into the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that even though, I think men use coping mechanisms that are different than the ones that women use.
Mm.
And so I do think that many times the preponderance of abuse, research-wise and statistics, show that women tend to be much more the recipients of that.
Does that mean that then they carry scars without being resolved, perhaps in a more strong way than men would?
Well, I think so, particularly when the message is, it's not okay for you to talk and to share about it.
Yeah, yeah. And that happens a lot. Now, we have a lot of questions for you. We will need to take a short break. But when we return, my Speak Up friends will join us. And I'll ask some more questions to Dr. Selecek. Stick around. We are speaking up about emotional healing. And Dr. David Selecek is here helping us. So, Dr. Selecek, tell us. We were discussing the differences maybe between men and women. Tell us a little bit, what is important for women to do in order to start looking at this and find the healing that they need?
Well, women need to begin by giving themselves permission to share their story.
I was so impressed with
what you did, Erica, that's the beginning of the journey. Women need to give, it's okay for me to talk about this, to break the silence. Mm. Silence is debilitating. So talking about it, speaking about it, and then not just talking about it, but beginning to identify, how was I hurt? What was the damage that occurred? What were the losses that I suffered, through this experience or this series of experiences? Mm. That's the beginning of
the
healing process. And then how did I respond in ways that were self-protective, but then ways that beyond self-protection ended up hurting me even worse?
Mm. Right. Mm.
And so how am I sabotaging myself by trying to protect myself?
Right. It was her virginity. She felt like he had taken something
such
that she could never get back. And the only thing that I felt like I could say to her at that point was, God renews.
That's it.
Right? Mm-hmm. He gives us back our purity.
Yeah.
I tell girls that all the time. If you've already gone farther than you wanted to, mm-hmm. if you already had sex, it's never too late to press the reset button mm-hmm. with God.
Yes.
Right? And I think that gave her a sense like, yes, he took that from me, but I can start over now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Erica, because, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that whoever a person joins himself to mm-hmm. sexually, you become mm-hmm. one with that
mm-hmm.
person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so even if you were raped like this person was, mm-hmm. there is a bond that was formed with that person.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what we like to suggest that people do is when you acknowledge that a bond has been formed, I can't break that bond by myself, mm-hmm. but I have a Savior who can.
Yeah.
That Jesus can break that bond and restore my sense of virginity.
That's beautiful.
That's a hard, as beautiful as it is, that's very, very hard to maybe even understand for somebody who was raped, because that's not mm-hmm. a wanted experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so then to know that you share a bond with someone, that's mm-hmm. so hard. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
right.
the beautiful
you're
thing
right.
is that the relationship with God then, depending on the kind of relationship you have with God and understanding of who God is, can make a difference in this case.
Mm-hmm.
A tremendous difference. There are bonds mm-hmm. that I chose mm-hmm. and then bonds that were done to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The ones that were done to me, God doesn't see them as sinful for me. I was the victim in
right.
that.
Yeah.
And yet
yeah.
a bond was formed, and God can restore, and He does.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. Mm. That's so beautiful. So you're saying the first step is to share your story, and then to be able to understand where you are, and if mm-hmm. you do have a relationship with God, that can be a wonderful thing. Now, how can we, as we minister to people, can help then people understand the steps that need to be taken?
Mm-hmm.
Shall we just listening to them? Is that the best? Or is it necessary that they go and talk to a counselor, talk to somebody who can provide deeper, guidance and counseling mm-hmm. for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A part of it is, depending upon the severity of the wound, mm-hmm. if it was a rape, they need to talk to someone to debrief and to get to get some healing there, and to find that, things like I'm not alone, because a lot of times when we're on the receiving ends of that, of things like mm-hmm. that, we feel like
alone.
We're the only one. And,
yeah.
and to be a part of another group, maybe of women, mm-hmm. is really, really important. But I'd also like to suggest that a good Christian counselor also learns how to take that person to Jesus.
To Jesus as well.
And find healing there in a way that you couldn't find it mm. perhaps other ways. Now, the other ways are good. They're really helpful, and I want to encourage them. But there are deeper ways. For example, You know, let's just take this sexual thing. Was Jesus sexually abused? You see, if he was, then he can identify with that person who was sexually abused, and they can identify with him in his suffering both ways.
Right. Mm.
And so, you know, was Jesus physically abused? Was Jesus emotionally abused? I mean, all of those questions are important.
He was sexually abused because he was naked, and people So he went through all of those things.
All of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so in principle, even though Jesus wasn't a woman, in principle, Jesus suffered the same things that any human being, man or woman, has ever suffered in himself. Therefore, we have a Savior who is not just saving us from sin,
but also...
Exactly.
He understands. I wanted this young woman to know, I said, I think you believe that God is sitting back and saying, well, now you've made it worse. You've made it worse by sleeping with all these other men. I said, my God is looking down and he's weeping because of the pain that you've experienced. He's weeping over it.
Because she's responding out of hurt.
Right.
And I honestly believe that God has a special kind of grace for us when we do things out of honest hurt. Like, that's hurt because that's not the lifestyle she had beforehand
or
the lifestyle she ever imagined for herself. She's responding out of such hurt, and I can't wait for her to come on the other side of understanding and the other side of healing when she could say, wow, God stuck in there with me the entire time I was responding out of hurt, and now he will show me what it's like to live in the light.
Well, can we step back a little bit then and say, why was she feeling so hurt? Because you mentioned that, you know, that it's a biblical approach that when people have sex with each other, they are bonded, and I understand that connotation because that's the ideal. But in her case, it was taken from her. It was. So maybe we put too much weight on, and women carry that a lot. Maybe to begin with, that virginity was so important to her, and that drained her so much. And I can understand and respect that, but aren't we putting too much of a heavy load on our little girls and saying that this is something that you have to carry? What about the men in our society?
It's so many times women are the not only the victims, you know, but they are seen as actually inviting that kind of thing.
It's almost like it's their fault for being so beautiful and attractive.
I think how we teach young ladies and young men about sex and virginity from the beginning is what helps shape their understanding. So this young lady, I believe her understanding about sex and virginity was that it only belongs to one person. Therefore, if anything happens, whether by my choice or not, beforehand, which hinders that one person thing, I am dirty, I am this, I am that. That happened in the Bible all the time.
And God all the time.
And Jesus tore it down, but everyone in society was trying to say, no, you are unclean, you are dirty. And so I think that the version of the story that the young lady has and that many people have is that if anything happens outside of the design, you are dirty.
You're
and that's
doomed.
Not right.
You're doomed, you're dead.
And that's not right.
And that's what needs
that's
to be
not
changed.
Right.
That wrong view, distorted
that
view.
Is not right.
And part of the healing process is to then change that distorted vision to understand in God's eyes truly what is happening. And in God's eyes, he's looking as like beautifully you told her, Erica. He's looking at you. He's hurting with you. He's crying with you. He understands because he went through even worse, right? And so that's very, very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Selashek, for helping us understand this important topic. Let's keep the conversation going. Send us your comments and your questions to us. And send us your story. Maybe you have identified with some of what we said here today. You've been abused. You've been hurting emotionally, and you don't know who to turn to. Well, find more information on our website. You may want to download our Speak Up notes. And our website is hopetv.org/speakup. And there you'll be able to then look at your own emotions and see what are some of the options that you have for finding that emotional healing. After the break, the Word of God will speak up on this issue. Stay with us. We are speaking up about emotional healing. And that was a very, very touchy conversation, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the kind of thing that you wish none of your young people come and talk to you about, but it happens. It's what it is. And you want to be able to help them understand you are valuable and that has not changed. You are honored. That has not changed. Mm-hmm. And so it's so hard because as women, when there is stuff like sexual abuse, physically we are designed to receive. So we are receiving the abuse. We are receiving the roughness, the agitation. We're receiving all of that. And then we take it and we carry it around for years to come unless we seek the proper help, treatment to be healed.
And yeah. If you're older, if you're way down the road and this happened to you as a teenager, as a young woman, and you're 50, 60 mm-hmm. years old, I hope the people watching know that it's mm-hmm. not too late to get help.
Never.
You don't have to
it's
keep carrying this with you.
And the fact that there are people you can trust, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, and God, of course, is the number one person, something that Dr. Salachek said that, yes, it's important. And we want people to seek a counselor and seek someone they can talk to if they don't have somebody they trust or even if they have a very complicated situation. But remember, God ultimately is also the one that you can count on because he's hurting with you. Mm-hmm. And I think once we understand that God understands our pain where we are, and we're not alone, you know, that relationship will strengthen us. You know, some of the research that I have done in this area with people that did have early traumatic events, including sexual abuse, physical and mental emotional abuse, within a context of a faith community, does show that later in adulthood, if they were able, one, to forgive and to understand what forgiveness is, if they were able to have a connection with God deep enough that God was a loving God who understood their pain, mm-hmm. and if they were able to then be grateful for things, that those three things actually reduce the risks that they would have problems like depression, anxiety, or even physical issues that come from that burden that many are carrying. So it is important.
That goes to show how important it is to, first of all, present this God as a God of mercy, mm-hmm. as a God yes. of grace, mm-hmm. and a God who can make you strong. Because this understanding that you have is going to guide you throughout if you are a spiritual person, right? Mm-hmm. So I really feel that we need to have this commitment in whatever area we are in life, that whatever we are portraying, spiritually speaking, that's going to stick, and especially younger minds, and that is what they are going to build up upon. Yep. So if they have this version of a God who is
punitive,
so concerned about the traditions and rules, and then they're going to miss out that, you know, it's your self-worth. It's so much bigger than that. And right. so they can build upon that.
Yeah, he died. He came. He suffered the sexual abuse, the physical abuse. I mean, when you think about God leaving, the owner of the universe, the creator of the universe, coming here to save you and me and going through all of that and mm-hmm. still being spit on, you know, giving mm-hmm. his life. I mean, you can't just, you can't.
Yeah,
but just simply open your heart.
Let us not forget, too, that I know we were talking more about, like, women getting affected by it or the girls getting affected by it. Also, men
are
getting abused, too, like Jesus did.
And they also go maybe to a little different process of the emotional scars and trauma that they carry. Maybe they process it a little differently, but they also are in need. Now, what does the Bible has to say about that?
Well, the Bible says everything about it.
Yes.
I mean, again, Jesus understands the need for emotional healing. I'm pretty sure that the whole cross situation was not very easy.
No.
After all, he did say, if it was possible,
please
take this from me.
If
take
it's possible, it then please just let this thing pass. You know, and that includes all the emotions that come along with it. Because if Jesus is the one who loves unconditionally, mm-hmm. but he was still able to say, by the way, if we could skip this part, I would like to do it.
Right.
Right.
But your will be done.
But your will be done. Mm-hmm. I'm still here hanging
in. Well, because he loved us.
Because
he
loved us.
He wanted to give us a future.
Absolutely. So, Josiah, the Bible says.
Yeah, I have this incredible verse in 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The word restore.
Yeah.
You talked about pressing reset earlier. Yeah.
Strong.
That's the same thing.
That's my
restore,
favorite one.
Reset. Yeah. And make you strong.
Yeah.
Mm. And, you know, that's powerful because not only you're restored, But sometimes now, because of it, you can help restore others.
That is, I think that is so key when we talk about emotional healing. I met a young woman, another young woman a few weeks ago who's been in and out of foster care her entire life. And man, she's got some really deep scars. And after we talked for a while, I said to her, do you realize that because of what you've gone through, what you're going to be, the impact you're going to be able to make in another little girl's life?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, her face just lit up. The dynamic totally changed. Oh. And she said, I don't want anybody to ever have to go through what I've been through.
The Bible says we comfort others with the same comfort that we have been comforted with.
It's beautiful. So there's nothing happens that God can't take that and make something beautiful out of it. And we need to remember that. As we discussed, a broken spirit can bring about disease and even premature death. But it is reassuring to know that while you suffer, God is not standing and simply watching you. He is intimately involved. In all of your suffering, He suffers with you. He feels all of your pain. And when you open yourself to the pain of your past, God can soothe that pain and He can calm your fears. There is always power in the Word of God. The same God who spoke and created the world can touch and heal us through His Word, but in His time. If you would like prayer, our prayer team would love to pray with you. Call us at 1-888-446-7388. Also send us your name on Facebook and we will add you to our Speak Up prayer list. Share your comments and your questions and just tell us your story. We would love to hear from you. Remember to visit our website, hopetv.org/speakup, and download our Speak Up notes on emotional healing. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and your happiness.